cock. Come on, knock until body start bobbing.
I'm the hipster hunter.
Prescription pill popping, collect the cock blocking. I'm dead, D-bag grabbing.
I'm the hipster hunter.
Party's not stopping till cock. Come on, knock until body start bobbing. Prescription pill popping, collect the cock blocking. I'm dead, D-bag
the
grabbing.
As Far Unnamed Podcast. I'm Bo.
And I'm Tom, the golden voice of radio.
Tom and myself are not within regions.
We're not within person. A close vicinity as such.
No, we're not in the same state.
For about five years, I think, probably.
Yeah. I'm on Mars, he's on Venus. It's intricate.
It's all esoteric. We don't need to go into it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, anyway. Unnamed podcast.
Pardon?
Unnamed podcast.
Unnamed podcast. We basically hate everything that people like.
As you know, as unique as that is.
Yeah. There's cynicism is much
there's words you could use to describe us, but we won't go into them.
Yeah.
You probably haven't heard of them.
Yeah. Via Skype you can basically call us anything weird. Unprofessional would be a good one.
Cardi would be another.
Yeah. I think how about we just get into a subject that we have not planned?
Predetermined subject matter or discussion topics.
This basically came about as, oh, let's do a podcast. Yeah, let's do a podcast.
I mean, fuck it. Like, who, you know, with the internet, I think it not only does the internet enable people, but it sort of just gives people this confidence. And it's like, you know, hey, fuck, I could do that, right? Right, I could do that. I could have invented Facebook.
Penis? I have one. Let's show it.
I've got a penis. Why aren't I in porn? Like, let's discuss. I really want to know where people get the sense of, like, I don't know, empowerment in contrast to their daily life when they see people who have, you know, achieved success and then they look at the internet and they're like, holy fuck, the internet means that I can, you know, the world is my oyster and I have to literally not even try. And I'll become a fucking superstar.
Justin Bieber,
exactly. Yeah,
he doesn't try. He literally, like,
he become famous.
He was castrated at the age of 12, so he can sustain a career. But we don't have to worry about him procreating because he doesn't have balls.
Well, that's excellent, you know? And amen to that. Amen. And the most ironic phrase to use in the situation, you know, but I'll run with it.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're cynics using, well, praising God for Justin Bieber's lack of testicles.
Oh, quite. But yeah, I mean, like, I have a level of empathy for people who don't really understand the boundaries that comes with, you know, internet media.
Yeah.
But it just pisses me off when people think that they can achieve success through just because they think they can.
Yeah,
and because off another the internet is like this platform for internet's like instant stardom.
Yeah. I think that, as you said, well, in a way, it's abused. It's which is kind of a bit of fame. I think we're trying to preach our opinions, really.
Yeah, I mean,
I basically just want to piss other people with the opposite opinions off. I think that's my purpose in life.
I think that's your goal.
Yeah.
If you can maintain that, then...
You like Green Lantern? Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something about why Ryan Reynolds is a faggot.
Let me tell you something about why Green Lantern was shit. One, it had four writers and multiple plot holes. Two, Blake Lively, though hot and stunningly beautiful, was not made relevant enough. Hector Hemming didn't need to be in the movie.
They made a character down of a piece of cardboard.
He had the fucking personality of one. The yellow ring never needed to be made.
I think.
It's a leader for the second movie, but I would much rather in like the second movie. I don't want it to be made at all, but since they are
Regardless.
going to make it, and there's clearly going to be some relevance with that yellow ring, they could have said as like a prologue to the second movie, like thousands of years ago, all the rings were made, and the yellow one was forbidden. Someone stolen the yellow ring. Blah blah blah. Off we go.
If you weren't talking about, I don't mean to be bold, but if you weren't talking about Green Lantern, I don't know what you'd be. I'd really be worried.
Pardon?
Don't mean to be vulgar, but if I didn't know you were talking about Green Lantern, I'd be a little worried. Aside from all the developing problems that you see across the sequence of the movie,
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that hits you in the face from the very start of where the dialogue starts is
That's how shit
probably
it
Ryan
is.
Reynolds' ego. And how it can't even be contained within the beauty of the Sony 3D widescreen that we have today. The panels cannot withstand his massive and like every
That's why it was a 3D movie, so it could be heard.
it's like they let him write his own fucking dialogue and he was stroking his dick.
See, if people went to watch it in 2D, they would have started bleeding from because they
No
can't
doubt.
comprehend the 3D helps you to. It's
They
a
had to find some
filter
trust,
for his ego.
just had to trust a fund, a fucking cause for people who had to see Ryan Reynolds in Green Lantern in 3D. I mean, sorry, in not in, in 2D.
I think it would have been painful.
All the movie theaters who lost their projector.
Yeah, they had to when the movie was shipped to the theaters, they had to also ship a temporary projector because immediately afterwards the projector feels dirty and wants to kill itself.
Part of the reason why it didn't make its cost in profit on its opening weekend was pretty much just the projector cost, as well as the lack of,
Expenses.
yeah.
Compensation to the victims.
And I mean they had to pay so much money just to just to ship Ryan Reynolds' ego. It was a quarter budget.
Ryan Reynolds came to Australia for that film. You know it's going to be shit when it comes to Australia.
Yeah. Well, anyway, aside from Green Lantern, shall we move on to? Are we just going to keep bashing films, or should we praise something?
Oh, we can pray something. What would you like to
And
praise?
can't be Red State because
Yes, Red State.
I think you might come off as a little I don't know, fanboyish. Not fanboyish, but I mean, if I haven't seen it. You tell me. Why I should see Red State?
You should see Red State because Kevin Smith made it.
Oh, I mean, aside from the obvious fact, if I wasn't, I mean, I wasn't an appreciator of Kevin Smith, why should I see Red State? What
That's
have I did with
because
his other?
that's appreciative of Kevin Smith.
I mean, I'm throwing cocks into the wind, but what if I didn't like Kevin Smith's other movies?
That's just silly.
You're just playing this wall up because you have no good argument because you saw him because you love Kevin Smith so much.
I'm great.
Mean, like, what are the good things about this movie besides the fact that you got to suck Kevin Smith's dick through the screen?
Well, I got to grasp his nuts through the screen.
Besides any phallic gesturing.
Okay, I'll be serious. I'll be serious. Well, it's different. It's not Clerks. It's not Chasing Amy. It's not Mallrats. It's not any of that. It's well, I'd say the first act, it's like let's say. Tom.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't seen it.
Right. Do you mind spoiler alerts?
No, you can go. You can go explore.
Sweet, sweet. So basically, it's about a church who hate gays. They hate everything. If it's against God, they fucking hate it.
Yeah.
They probably hate other Christians because they don't practice like they do. And it starts off with these three teenagers played by Nicholas Braun, Michael Agnew, and Kyle Gallner from The Horny of Connecticut. And they are three horny teenagers who meet up with this internet gal, and she is a part of the church. She's in the church, and it's like entrapment type thing, and she takes them and, like, takes them down into the church and Kyle Gallner gets put in the cage, the two others are under, and there's this guy, he's gay, and they've sellotaped him, like glad wrapped him to a crucifix, and they kill him. So basically, yeah, but the scenes with, like, the very first scenes where they're in a classroom and there's a lot of dialogue-y stuff, I would say that's the Kevin Smith, to do with, like, the teenagers. That's the Kevin Smith. It's just his movie. Then it moves on when they're in the church and the Michael Phelps's character, is preaching to his church, his congregation, and that is that's the Tarantino. It's so, like, full body. It's amazing. Like, Michael fucking, not Michael Phelps. Fucking hell. Who the fuck is Michael Phelps? Phelps is, like, the fucking real guy. Michael Parks. Fucking hell.
Michael Phelps is a swimmer. Michael Phelps is
going to
listen to this and he's just
going to
be like, what the fuck?
I fucking hate Kevin Smith.
I don't want to be a red
state. I don't want to suck Kevin Smith's dick. Oh, grasp his balls.
Where the fuck did you pull that
from? I don't know. The real guy is called... No, Megan Phelps is, like, in the church. It's like the church I was based on. I got mixed up. Fuck you. Michael Parks. I apologize.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Michael Parks. He's the guy who plays the cop at the start of Dusk Till Dawn. Turn gay type guy, you know? You'd suck his dick just out of admiration.
Yeah, just out of pure respect.
Yeah, exactly.
No closet homosexuality required.
No strings attached. No strings attached. Ropes, maybe. Ropes.
Ropes, perhaps. Possibly ropes.
You know, S&M.
Yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with a bit of pure respect S&M.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're getting weird.
And then it turns into, like, a Coen action film, like, there's guns and shit. It's like fucking, it's brilliant.
And on a personal level, I already want to suck this movie's dick.
Yeah.
And just like throw it into a blender and jump in the blender. Something fucking crazy. Like, that sounds just awesome.
It's fucking, the story is so fucking good too.
I'm not saying provide, like, a critical analysis of the film.
No, I don't have a critical analysis. I have an admiration analysis. It's just, this movie isn't bad. Watch it and perhaps, I don't know, masturbate through it.
Take the DVD case.
Buy two copies.
You know, stick your dick in the computer if you torrented it. If you're that unfortunate.
Yeah, buy two copies, and in one of the copies, open the case, come into it, close it, put it in the microwave to heat it up to make it soft, and then eat it.
This podcast is 10 minutes in, and it's already gloriously phallic.
Yeah.
I like where we're going with this, you know?
There's a lot of penis talk. I don't think we've talked about pussy at all yet.
Oh, fuck, it's overrated. Pussy's too, you know the word I'm talking about.
Yeah, smelly.
Oh man.
But I think Kevin Smith, he's just like fucking, his shit is just sorted. He doesn't think he's a fucking born filmmaker. He's a born fucking storyteller, and he tells those stories so fucking well. Like, I got nothing but this from him. He says that Jersey Girl wasn't a good movie. It was a good movie because he fucking made it.
Jersey Girl was a good fucking movie.
I liked it.
I enjoyed that fucking movie.
I can't say I care for Jennifer Lopez, but, you know, fuck it.
I mean, fuck it. Wait. Jennifer Lopez was in that movie?
Yeah, she's at the start. She's the one who dies. Think, fuck.
Lived holy shit. All I remember was, like, what's Ben Affleck doing with that black chick? I'm just kidding.
Liv Tyler's...
Oh, man, Liv Tyler. Holy shit.
She's the reason I watched a lot of The Rings.
Take me to Lord of My Rings any day. that was just fucking low.
She can like, fucking... Like, seriously, she could do porn. I would back her.
She does not need to do porn.
That's true.
You see it say the word sex, and it's like, fuck you, tip your desk over.
I just need to see her face, and I think I'm good.
That's all you need.
She, like, she's the reason I feel bad when I badmouth Lord of the Rings, because it's just, like, fucking got one big plot hole. And we all know what that plot hole is. No need to go into logistics, but, you know.
Beatles said that all we need is love. But, man, all I need is Liv Tyler's face. I mean...
All I need is her lips.
Yeah. I don't even need... I just need, like, the lower half of her face. I don't even need dialogue.
No.
I don't even need in.
I'd fuck her eyes if they had holes. I'll just skip present the socket.
Has she been, like brutally mutilated by acid and her eyes were just gaping holes, I would fuck those holes. Just because I don't want to be there.
She could have AIDS. I would let her spit in my mouth.
I would get into cum play so I could mix the cum with the soil that is her burnt ashes after she dies and just roll in it. And a bunch of semen.
I'd fuck her if she had a sex change.
Oh, man. I don't think you went up to me at all because I said I'd fuck her dead ashes.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I just figured I could be a little bit funny after that.
I could scrape up the leftovers of that joke.
I can piece her back together, but in male form, and then fuck her. I'll do a Liv Tyler puzzle.
Oh, and you'll solve it with your dick.
Ew. I'll use her ashes as Milo and perhaps not filter your cum out.
Just perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps.
That should address the sexual tension that we have right now.
Yeah.
I want to use soil and your cum as my, you know, Milo. I hope you don't have a problem with that.
Your cum is the catalyst of mine and Liv Tyler's love.
And the catalyst of your milk and Milo.
Ew. Yeah, fuck it, I won't use milk.
Because, I mean, that's just that much of it. Not required.
No. Wait, why was red state good again?
I don't know. Fuck it. I mean, I don't think it's possible to take that sort of movie and just say, you know, here's the good sides and here's the bad sides. Fuck it, man. It doesn't matter. See the movie.
You know what the bad side about that movie is?
What's the bad side?
It ends.
That's classic fanboy talk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Talk about Star Wars.
That's just like saying, you know, I'm a fanboy of pussy. I don't have anything to be ashamed of.
It doesn't matter if pussy has an end further than you want it to go. I mean, you're only going to go as deep as your dick.
Yeah.
Or perhaps your arm. Work that shit like a fucking puppet.
Oh, God.
But I don't. Yeah, Kevin Smith. I have nothing but fucking good things to say. I mean,
just,
he could.
You know, put that across through this podcast.
Yeah, he could become a priest, and fucking, you know, just altar boy the shit out of them. I wouldn't care. He made Clerks.
Exactly.
But Clerks, I don't.
Many have come before us and said this, but.
Yeah, we're saying it again, and we mean it.
Say it again, and we'll say it again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have a new way. We like, all right, Kevin Smith can do this, and I wouldn't care. Well, that's the thing. That's like our Liam Neeson's cop joke.
oh God. Yeah, it's my car.
Fuck yes. Hollywood Babylon for the win.
Kevin Smith could be ashes, and I would come in them.
Liv Tyler.
I'd be cremated on top of Liv Tyler, and I would still derive just as much pleasure out of coming in the ashes and then putting them into your marlo.
I would get Liv Tyler's and Kevin Smith ashes. I would put them together, and then I would go to Gloria Jean's because I like to experiment with blends.
I like to experiment with blends. That's how you get the Gloria
Jean's
chick on your dick. Hello.
Into a chocker. Can you make an international roast out of this?
And then later on, maybe I'll make an international roast out of you.
It's doing to all of your idols. You got your Quentin Tarantino blend, Edgar Wright, Jason Reitman.
I call this my liquid inspiration.
I drink it, masturbate, and write for 5 hours.
Oh, man.
I must masturbate. It's critical.
It's a critical part. The sexual release provides a stimulant to my brain that aids the process of producing
this. I use my semen as a moisturizer for the brain.
And I apply it through the nostrils.
Oh. I dry it and I cut it into a powder form and induce it very much like cocaine.
Somewhat frowned upon this, I will admit.
Pardon, what was that?
Some would frown upon this, believe it or not.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, fuck the police.
I would, what if this became illegal? What if we were so offensive?
they definitely won't let us on iTunes.
Lucky there's no major, like, fundamentalist Christian type people in Australia.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not on the social.
Yeah. I think, yeah, we can be racist in this country and you won't get the uproar you would if you were in America. Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but we're a lot more tolerant as a society.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that just don't get fucking tolerated, like just defamation of anyone who's been on a current affair. You're absolutely fucking... You've got no fucking social identity anymore besides, you know, Hitler cocksucking devil Jew. Yeah, if you slightly defame, you call into question the dignity of anyone from a current affair, you're absolutely fucked by every media station. Yeah,
if you question Tracy Grimshaw's credibility, you
don't even fucking say
in jail.
Don't even say her name, or you know we're gonna have dildos so far up our fucking asses that we're not even gonna handle it.
You can't say, you know what, from a current affair. TG. You can't say the TG word.
TG, I can fuck up.
Don't drop the soap and don't say the TG word.
Don't drop the soap or the TG.
Because both of them.
Stick the soap.
Both of them will end
in rape. It will stick it in your mouth until you stop. You know, until you learn that TG is unacceptable in this country.
We're not kidding when we'll say we'll wash your mouth out.
Did you ever see the Al Stewart videos on YouTube?
Yeah. They became.
What I really love how seriously they took the whole defamation of
They did.
Of Al Stewart. and sort of exacerbated that into just like this, you know,
exacerbated. I like it.
As if they'd committed a hate crime on Raymar. Like, I don't understand how they went to that, but then everyone rolled with it like it was so serious.
Yeah, but I think it's like you commit incest. I think it got the same attention.
I mean, sort of sure there probably were themes of incest in there, but it was like Chase's level, you know, level jokes. And yeah, they were pretty. It, as far as comedy goes, it was pretty vulgar, but
yeah, but it's what the world is now. It's
what they turned into, besides, you know, taking into question how fucked up some of the jokes were, they turned it into this whole, like, you know, as if they've set up a website that's just, you know, accusing Raymar of being a pedophile. like they've just basically taken, you know, Photoshop pictures of him raping children or something like that.
It's a free world. He can do what he likes.
Like, they're actually insinuating that he's broken the law.
Yeah.
They actually got an expert in and said, well, apparently he hasn't broken any laws, but we will tell you this, he is Satan.
But yeah, I think that's your quip. I think that's as bad as it's going to get in Australia, and you can call someone black. You can be, like, truly racist. You'll get on an affair.
Because we're that insecure about our, like, you know, our cultural identity that we will defend, you know, the child terrorizing, you know, protagonist of a show that hasn't really been popular for, well, I don't want to be the cunt that says this, but 10 years? Maybe 15 years?
I think it's been on for like 25.
Oh, no, but I mean, it hasn't been popular.
Oh, brilliant. That's...
I mean, it's fucking irrelevant, but we cling to it because the fact is...
It's all Australia's got.
We haven't fucking got anything else.
The Road Warrior fucked off to do what a girl wants. Whatever.
I think A Current Affair...
Road Warrior, and, you know, Team Beaver.
Australia. They all have this sort of underlying sense of just, like, completely artificial pride in the in the way that we sort of portray our cultural identity through film and television.
Yeah, it's kind of
that is the social taboo. Besides that, you can throw out pretty much anything, and they'll call it, sure, they'll call it controversial, but they'll still put it on SBS 15 times a day because they just need the ratings. I mean, they have nothing to fill the time slots.
You could suck a dick in Sydney's, like, you could suck a dick on Bondi Beach in the name of God. People, yeah, it'll be controversy. You suck a dick in the name of Raymar, you will get
You will be burnt at the fucking stake and on a live stream.
It will be broadcast on all the major networks except for SBS. It will be Mythbusters.
Oh, Mythbusters followed by an art house documentary.
German porn. And it won't be broadcast on the HD free-to-air channels. It won't be on Go. You'll get Ben 10 on that. And on 7, mate, you'll get that 70 show.
Yeah, but it'll receive, like, you know, semi-9/11 coverage on all the other networks.
Semi-9/11 coverage? Oh.
Oh. I can't apply to all the demographics. You know, some people are going to be interested in the fact that someone sucked the dick of, you know, Joe Blow on Joe Blow. Excuse the pun. Nobody gives a fuck that somebody sucked Joe Blow's dick on Bondi Beach in the name of Raymar. I mean, unless they're in that sort of, you know, culture sucking demographic.
But even like the blokes who say like, oh, you don't watch Home and Away, you're a fag. Even they will be into it. Even they'll be like, dude.
What a bunch of cunts.
You suck dick in the name of Raymar in your own homes where nobody knows about it.
You sick backwards fucks. You go on your Facebook. Go on your blogs. Because you're anti-social and you suck Raymar's dick because you're an absolute, you're a drug addict,
You must be on something to be that radical.
You're probably an immigrant. I wouldn't be surprised if you came here on a boat. just to defame Raymar. He crossed oceans to fuck with our social identity.
Before you suck that guy's dick in Ralph Mar's name. Right.
We'll throw shit at him in Coles. He'll give him nasty looks.
They will rush, they will put their trolleys away, undo the locks, get their dollar coin out, and put it in a pillowcase and fucking go to town.
They weren't even serving at Aldi.
I fucking love that.
The pot peddling market junkies that shop at Aldi won't even converse with him. the ones that set up stands at the markets, between their frequent wholesale, industrial load product trips between Aldi and their.
They're much too interested in their sales to be concerned.
I mean, they won't even exchange glances with this person.
They'll be too deep trying to get free fucking television.
I mean, this is the disadvantage of not having predetermined a plan of any kind of structure. Sort of running things. I don't know where we started. I don't know where we're going. Where is my mind?
It's like Blues Brothers. We got a full tank of gas, a half pack of cigarettes. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses. With a full tank and not much visual capacity, who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck?
Maybe we should talk about our writing endeavors, Take it to a place.
Let's be even more pretentious if that's possible.
Yes. But movies in which you probably don't care about.
Well, anyway, fuck, I don't know. How do we,
I don't know, dude.
How do we put this across?
Do you reckon we should just outline the synopsis of our films?
Or does that sound wanky?
Do that.
You lay down friends like these.
There's nothing I like.
It is fucking amazing. An amazing screenplay.
What, mine?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Fuck, I'm not your boyfriend, right, mate? So, fuck, calm down, right? Oh, I'm just kidding, poppycock. No, it's fucking, it's pure genius. It's line after line of,
reference.
Cleverly put down, cult film references between witty dialogue and a completely clever plot. Which, it carries the character.
I'm so flattered.
You're such a fucking guy, man.
don't even know what to say, Tom. I don't know what to say. Oh, I'm gonna have to follow that when I introduce yours. I tell you what, with yours though, you did a whole lot more planning with yours. I mean, when I started writing mine, it was New Year's Day of 2011. I was a little bit hungover, and I started writing it, and I remember like I got like 14 pages down, and it was like real amateur. I didn't have any planning. It wasn't like you when you just like when you pitched yours, I guess, to me, and you were like, I know who these characters are, I know what they're gonna do, and I know how this story's gonna pan out. Mine was just like, I'm gonna write something because I feel like I should. All right, let's start writing. I didn't even have like set character names until about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. Like when I started mine, it was just me and who and my friend. And I was basically writing like, all right, what would make me laugh? And I suppose that it evolved, like that made me laugh then. That doesn't make me laugh now. Like if I look back at the first things I wrote for my film, which is called Friends Like These for All Who Care.
All seven of you.
Yes. All seven people.
Including my mum, who I probably will not show.
Yeah, I wrote it and it was just like, oh, that's funny, ha ha ha. And basically the plot
that... I'm writing, you're not in me. I'm so clever, fuck you all.
I'm not good. I will let it lie. You know what, you want to know how pretentious I am? I'll make this film and then I'll work at freaking Coles for the rest of my life and I'll accomplish nothing, but I will deprive you all of this film.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I was writing it and basically what it was about, it was two friends who are now called Vince and Alex. That's their names. Vince is the more, I suppose, easygoing one. I'm trying to like, yeah, Tom, is this what you think it is when these are characters that I've, I guess, created? It's yeah, Vince and Alex. Vince is more the easygoing one. Alex is, I wouldn't say high strung, but you know, he's more prone to the stress. He's like.
He's not exactly high strung, but he carries a bit of frustration.
He has a lot more like to carry. He's got shit at home.
He's not exactly Dante.
No, he's not Dante. Dante kind of like
he actually does have burdens.
Yeah. I reckon if Clerks was made by Quentin Tarantino would show why he's high-strung and shit. I suppose, in a way, I'm not saying I'm Quentin Tarantino and I'm Kevin Smith. I'm saying, like, I've given, like...
I've already exceeded our pretentious quota.
By the way, I've got this idea for a film. It's about a jewel heist, and then it comes back to, like, a garage, and they've all... They haven't got names. They've got code names according to colours.
Oh, God.
I'm thinking of making that one after this one.
That's actually an idea, you know. I root for that 100%.
I'm thinking of calling it Sewer Cats. Yeah. It's gonna be a hit, I can tell. Yeah.
You should make sure it's got like a 70s soundtrack, you know.
Screw that 80s soundtrack, called Semi Electronica. Yeah. So it was Vince and Alex, two friends, and, you know, I think what I equate it to now, I guess, is American Pie. It was a very, like, took advantage of what I could do in film. You know, I could do sex scenes, I could do this, I could do that, I could do whatever I like. People would watch it and people would, I suppose, attract to it, but... What I know now is, like, people want a story And not until last week did I understand what the real story was. And it was after listening to...
It's unbelievable that you've actually only just now fully understood the story. You go through and read it, and it looks like you planned it from the beginning.
Yeah, it's the name. We figured out the name. Like, it was based really off the White Stripes song, I Can Tell That We're Going to Be Friends, but it spawned to Friends Like This.
You even wanted the intro song to be something like I Can Tell That We're Friends, but it changed somehow into Friends Like These.
Yeah.
And then the phrase with Friends Like These Who Needs Enemies, that comes to mind, and that just explains the whole...
Yeah, it does. Plot. It does, because, like, essentially this film, they're, I guess, in a sense, their greatest enemies are their friends. Like, so basically it revolves around three relationships. It revolves around the relationship between Vince's mum and dad, who are Jude and John, named after the song Hey Jude and John Lennon. Beatles fans.
Yes. That John was John Lennon.
Did you not get that?
I didn't pick that up, no. Because John is such a common name.
Oh, fair enough, yeah. Touche.
Is Helen a reference to something?
Yeah, Helen Mirren.
Oh, wow.
It's an inside joke, like, because I find Helen Mirren has maintained equivalency of attractiveness. Like, she is not old ugly, you know? She's...
Helen is attractive.
I'm not going to lie, I'd fuck Helen Mirren. I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't. But, so it's based around three main relationships, Jude and John, who are, Jude's a writer, and she's kind of like, she holds the family together, she pays for the bills and everything, she's an accomplished writer. And John's kind of just there, like they were high school sweethearts, I guess. I suppose now I'll just give a little bit of backstory. They've been together forever, but he's never had to do anything because she became an accomplished writer early, and she's maintained that. She's sold like book after book, and she's done really well. But they live in a middle class suburb. I don't know. It's inconsistent, but let's go.
To do well as a writer does not mean to live anything above a middle class Australian suburb.
Yeah.
I mean, to do well as a writer is that.
Yeah, I suppose she has to be humble.
To shoot rainbows out of your hands and become J.K. Rowling, that's another thing. But I mean, you know, being a writer, it's not anything really. I mean, what is print now?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Unless you sell 10 million copies.
People
don't even buy movies anymore.
That's true.
Most people don't even... Book? Is that something that I can buy at the bakery? To eat while I watch my...
croissants.
I just totally lost you for that whole joke.
Yeah. I think if we ever have international listeners, they'll be like, no, it's way too localized.
It is too much within our own spectrum. our accents are ununderstandable anyway. Ununderstandable. That's a word, I'm sure.
We'll have to get a blog or Twitter or something so they can tell us when we need to diversify our jokes.
Oh man, sure, we've kept it open to film, but anybody who isn't an avid sort of moviegoer or you know, a somewhat intelligent Australian is gonna not come to this so easily, I will say.
No, I think you're gonna have to if you like Kevin Smith movies, if you are a fan of Kevin Smith, you will like this podcast. If you don't know who Kevin Smith is and you don't really have knowledge of movies, you're probably not going to like this podcast, or you won't just gravitate to it.
Yeah, I mean
I think our tastes are specialised. Like, for the most part, I probably only like probably 60% of the movies that are released, and most of the ones I do like aren't released in theatre.
I mean, that just goes totally against the side you've thrown up about being so pretentious and, you know, oh, I only like art house.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like a lot of movies that come out. I'm not one of those people who's just like, oh, this movie's a shit. Fucking hate this. Mainstream cinema is so fucking...
Sometimes good. I feel like that, though, because
I mean, it's reasonable to feel like that to a degree.
They're making Expendables 2. I mean...
I'm just gonna laugh, because I can't even fucking believe that.
The first one, I can just... Oh, fuck. I can go on for so long about why I don't like the movies that come out.
If you have that amount of actors at your disposal, surely you could budget a fucking writer who you didn't find on the street. A fucking brothel or a mental asylum. None of these would surprise me.
Did a fucking inmate at a prison write it on a shit?
And it was roughly translated by a Mexican and then retranslated to English by someone who has no professional training. Trying to communicate this inmate, you know, key themes. But they definitely sure that Terry Crews will come in with like a grenade launcher.
Jason. But then halfway through he will decide not to do it anymore.
God.
So they have to reshoot a whole lot of the movie to make it consistent.
I don't care about consistency, seriously.
Yeah, you're right. It's Sylvester Stallone. He's very inconsistent. Not all his movies are good. Most of his movies aren't good. I liked Rambo 1.
You didn't like First Blood Part 2?
Oh, yeah, I like that one as well. I didn't like 3.
I think you see it the better movie, but I mean, nobody likes 3.
No.
You do like it softly.
Or Rambo. Rocky, I mean.
I mean, Rocky 3 sucked too.
I didn't like any of them. It's not my movie. Accomplishment movies aren't my thing. Well,
accomplishment movies. I think I grew out of those when I was about 10.
I really liked August Rush.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't an accomplishment movie.
I think it was a bit because he's like, he was an orphan as like.
But the story went further than just his journey to becoming a prodigy.
Yeah.
Character story.
It was a little bit of a twist.
I mean, it wasn't just. Yeah, it wasn't really Rocky. I mean, I'm not saying Rocky isn't a character story, but I think all these Russians are a bit different.
Yeah. But yeah, my movie, it's 3 relationships. John and Jude, who were like having, I suppose.
Slightly digressed.
Pardon?
We slightly digressed.
Yes. Yeah, they're having relationship problems. He's just kind of, he's, for the better part, he's like her trophy husband. He's just kind of there because she should be married and he's not really doing anything. He doesn't have to do anything. They're rich. Pardon?
Despite the fact that she has 2 kids.
Yeah. And then there's the relationship with Alex's mum and his siblings, who are Mia and Peter. Peter being based on, like, my best friend, Peter. Mia being based on my little sister, Trinity. And yeah, she's left their husband. She's left her husband. The mother has left her husband for no particular reason, and has just kind of feels bad about it. And to cope with her indiscretions, she's trying to solve problems that don't exist. Problems with her children that don't exist. Like, just to make her ego
basically, you just sort of justify her lack of direction.
justify her actions.
Sort of moral keystones that she sort of doesn't have.
Yeah. Like, she's really fucked up, and she's trying to make up for it, and she doesn't know how to make up for it.
Yeah.
It's not doing a good job. And she feels like her kids don't appreciate her, but she's trying to show that she can be a mother.
Yeah.
When all she really had to do was stay with her dad.
She just wants to show, she feels like she doesn't care.
Yeah.
I don't mean to go like overanalyze the emotional side, but yeah, she, as a character, she feels like she doesn't, she feels like she must be a bitch.
Yeah. She feels like she can't do enough for her children.
Yeah, because of what she's done.
Yeah, what she's, yeah, because she left their father. I suppose that's where, it's a comedy. It's like, it's heavily humorous. At the start, it's a Kevin Smith film.
Yeah.
And I think the humor decreases through the relationships. Like, it's funny. Oh, yeah, the third relationship is Vince and Alex. Vince and Alex being best friends forever. Randall and Dante of the movie.
Yeah.
They're good friends, and the humor decreases. Like, they're the funny. They're the not comic relief. I wouldn't call them that. That'd be an insult to their characters. I'm not being self-absorbed, but I'd feel like if they were people and I called them comic relief, that would be an insult.
But they are the funniest, the lighter half side of the story, even though their characters.
Yeah.
The idea character is a more dramatic.
Yeah, and Jude
he remains lighthearted throughout their character development anyway.
Yeah. Jude and John, again, they're still humorous and their scenes are funny, but still their circumstances are serious.
Yeah.
And you've
I think the unfortunate part of this conversation is gonna be that nobody understands anything we're talking about. Besides you and me.
Yeah, but... Yeah, because I
actually... You vaguely about a script that nobody has read.
Yeah. I think it's becoming personal, I think, to me.
Yeah.
I you've read the very first draft.
Mm.
You read the first thing I wrote of it.
Completely.
Pardon?
I watched it change so much.
Yeah, exactly. It has evolved from what I've read, because I took a good 2 months where I hadn't written a thing. And I've probably...
And recently discovered what your story was actually about.
Yeah. I discovered literally last week what my movie was really about, and it's in relationships, and which have been there all along. It's friends like these. It's going to mean nothing to people listening to this, and I can't stress enough how...
Chips, guys. No homo. I think, what is it, I introduced myself as the golden voice of radio.
Yeah.
In retrospect, that was quite cunty.
It's probably the bronze voice at the moment. I think between us, it's the bronze.
Yeah, probably. I mean, bronze would be a compliment to being across right now.
Maybe we'll get better.
It's the coughing and the tapping. The background sounds of your ping pong, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Oh. Gwyneth Paltrow's ping pong vagina.
Yeah. Of course.
I'd watch that. I'd pay to see that.
I'd pay to see that. I would take popcorn to a movie theater just to enjoy the cinematic display that is Gwyneth Paltrow's ping pong vagina.
Did you watch the comedy roast, the Charlie Sheen Comedy Central?
I didn't see that.
They took a shot. Anthony Jeselnik. I don't know who he is. I think he wrote for Jimmy Fallon, his late night show. Anyway, you know, Michael J. Fox was in Spin City, and Charlie Sheen took over. Basically, he did an Ashton Kutcher to him.
Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik goes, the only reason. This is to Charlie Sheen. The only reason you're still on TV is because God hates Michael J. Fox. I fucking hated that. That pissed me off so much.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, fucking Michael J. Fox. He's so fucking cool. He's in Family Ties. He's like fucking. He plays Alex in Family Ties, and he's like, oh, he's fucking. He's like, he's supposed to be a prick, but he's still a nice. It's fucking Family Ties. That is. It's fucking. Ah, oh, it's Michael J. Fox. It pissed me off.
And it's Charlie Sheen as well.
Pardon?
And it's Charlie Sheen who, you know, I will say, is a cunt.
Yeah.
He is kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
And I think
the roast made me hate him a little bit less.
You know, he needs to have less money and less cocaine. Less access to the fucking internet. Less media exposure altogether. He doesn't need it.
No.
To go to rehab for having too much media exposure of the worst kind.
I think
it's that shit like it's coke. He loves it.
It's his Kevin Smith Liv Tyler ashes, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, was it on this podcast? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Oh god.
I'm going to listen back to this. I'm not going to edit it. I'm not.
How far have you gone now? Do you think you should probably, you know, reel this in? It's been like, what? How long has it been? We've been going for an hour and 17 minutes, but I don't think the podcast hasn't gone that long.
Yeah, I'd say we're a good hour, I'd say.
We should probably think about.
Well, do you want to?
What's the terminology?
Do you want to quickly talk about your film? Well, your novella, your story.
The thing that I've pumped up in my cauldron.
Yeah, because when you told me about it, because it started as like I'm gonna write a, it's kind of like Donnie Darko with like the Frank, and it's kind of like Fight Club, but not in so much as in. The kind of being that is the Tyler Durden, the Frank type being, is real.
It doesn't have the themes of the plot. It just sort of has Tyler Durden and it's a cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sounds indie enough.
But it's, dude, but the story, the way you told it, man, with like the fucking, with the characters, how their backgrounds, like, I can't remember, but.
It's about the characters and their relation. It's the central characters and how their relationships to the side characters sort of surround and interconnect everybody's lives have affected, you know, the inner relationships between like the protagonist and the love interest and their families.
Yeah.
It's that sounds ridiculously vague, but I don't know, I'm trying to think of how to explain it. Yeah, essentially you've got like a non schizophrenic Donnie Darko type, Michael Cera type character.
Cera, I like that. You never said that before.
Michael Cera without being Michael Cera. Because you wouldn't play Michael. You wouldn't play him with Michael Cera or Jesse. Michael Cera or Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, yeah.
Not really that character.
And he's not Australian Jesse Eisenberg, Michael Cera.
Yeah. And, he meets this girl who he finds that sort of light things up for him. He's like a writer. Who has he's very sort of cynical and
much like us.
and he feels that he's been dealt a shit hand, and he sort of puts that across in his writing. He meets this girl and she's his muse, yeah. And you know the struggle that he goes through is coming to terms with the fact that she's sort of contradicting his opinions on romance.
Yeah,
he sort of comes to terms with the fact that it's because of his family. That he has these views on love and the like.
Yeah, his views are altered, jaded in a sense by his upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it, her upbringing as well, and it's everyone's upbringing. And then he sort of comes to terms with what the relationships between him and these side characters, like his best friend, who is a total cunt, and how they're sort of what they actually mean, and like what he writes about. Yeah. And then it ends up being, him. Come to terms with the fact that he doesn't actually hate his parents.
It's just his
developed this sort of
cynicism.
Yeah.
But when you sent it to me, when I read, because you took a picture of the note page, when you sent it to me, I was like, holy fuck. What?
I've got the page here. I read about 6 or so pages.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. But you planned it. I didn't plan mine. I didn't know what my movie was about until a week ago.
And I don't usually plan.
Pardon?
It's a good thing to do, though.
Yeah. I tried to, man. I got my sister's whiteboard. I'm like, I need to plan this shit. But for me, like, I really have to find the story without trying. But it took me fucking 9 months to do that. I think I needed to speed up that process. I think once I got, like, I had like 80 pages of a film that was not terrible, but not good. It wasn't like if I made that film, it would have been shit. I spoke to a producer and sent him a movie that I didn't even have a clue about the plot or anything.
Yeah.
And we thought we were confident with it, but you know, like, I think you need to find the fucking
story. We had doubts, but we were fairly confident with where the film was.
The plot was that Alex fucks Vince's mum and then he has to deal with that, but now it's more that's still going to happen. Alex is still going to
the scope has widened a bit,
yeah,
and you've seen why that happened and what sort of happened with all the other characters and how fucked up things really are.
See, yeah, but if the plot was Alex fucks Vince's mum, they have to deal with that, it's a lot harder. But I think the Alex fucking Vince's mum is the problem within their relationship, because their best friends have been best friends forever. And you kind of have John and Jude's problem. You have Helen's problem with her kids.
Yeah.
I think it's gauging the most important relationship. It's the relationship with your children.
And that relationship is sort of connected to the other relationships.
Pardon?
And that relationship's connected. All the relationships are connected, and they have effects on each other.
Yeah.
And that central issue, yeah, I mean, it's all like a catalyst for the plot.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, it's got the three most important relationships. Your best friend, who you do anything for. You've got your children, who you die for, and essentially she is dying emotionally for. And then you've got your spouse, your husband, your fucking, well, in today's fucking thing, it's probably a bit wrong to say life mate because it's fucking inaccurate now. Yeah. But I found that, but I didn't know, but you fucking telling me about your film, that showed me what my film was. And
yeah,
fucking when you told me you hadn't even written anything, it was you messaged me, how does this sound? And I was like, that sounds awesome. And then you said a little bit more, and I was like, holy fucking shit, that movie is going to be so fucking good.
You fucking buttered the bottom of your desk, which is...
Yeah. How much smoke is up your ass? Just measure.
I don't think you can.
I think this podcast ended out pretty well. I think it got quite pro. We came good. We came good. We got a balance.
Yeah, I think we did well. Well,
I'm gonna have to see how long this did go for.
I don't think you can send it to me. Both on like
it. Well, it has a little measure. It doesn't say how long it goes for, but it says it has 59 megs.
Nice.
I'll have to upload it though. We'll have to do one tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Because we'll have to keep going. I don't think we can stop. I mean, we've spoken for however long now. I mean, that's a fucking good effort.
We are an overflowing, opinionated broth.
There's no stopping our opinions.
Bias smoothie reviews and social commentary.
You
know, pertaining to specifically Australia.
There's Milo, Tracy, ooh, TG, fucking said it. I almost got arthrite. Framar, Home and Away. Shit that people aren't going to understand if they're not within Australia.
Yeah.
But I do. Liv Tyler's Ashes. We went from snorting and freaking jizzy on Liv Tyler's Ashes to fucking explaining our films and basically our passions for the foreseeable future.
And now they can skip to the end and they'll get a glossary. So let's tie this up.
Yes.
I have like a used condom. Throw it somewhere, it will never be found.
You know, after that night, you want to forget about.
Just flush it away with your emotions. Oh, we're going to end this podcast and they're like, oh, I'm going to have to try so hard to forget this. You have no idea. They can't even talk to their immediate family just because it's so emotionally shaken up. Yes, but thank you for listening to the very first podcast of the Still Unnamed podcast.
Mm. Well, I think we'll have to deliberate. Yeah, we'll have to deliberate on a name because I'm sure we'll pull something out.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to say where from.
We'll figure out when we finish recording and shit. Righto. So, thank you for listening from Bo.
And to all of you, a good night.
See you.
My Kamali crew. I prefer a park with civics park with Polish prostitutes. I prefer piano. Why the gasping sound is really sad. No one seems to notice most of myriad of minivans. I detect your defects, irony for respect. And Mr. Boogie Nights with the very hairy V-neck. Hey, ass are wearing scary specs like you are Tom Daschle. Hang you off a roof, make you hum crystal castles. It's invite only to my gallery show. Then I turn on the gas cause they all gotta go. You cut coke like it's class. You beg for a bus pass. Rock the Richard Ray scarf and Glenn Fry's mustache.